Today I want to kind of turn the corner and now focus on Christmas and the reason that we celebrate Christmas. You know, we can't forget the first five letters. He's the reason, right? And so we're gonna focus on Jesus, the Christ in Christmas. Today I'm starting one of several message series called Emmanuel, God with Us. You know, throughout history, God delivered messages to God's people through messengers known as prophets. Sometimes they were called seers because they would see things in a dream or a vision and then share that with the people that God wanted the light to shine on. Isn't it good to have fun at church? Anyway, let's give it up for our tech team. Amen. Way to go, tech team. In the Bible, there are around 60 or more prophetic messages dealing with the birth, the life, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which have all come to pass, which helps with the believability of those prophetic messages. This morning, I want to look at one of those, something that one of the prophets, his name was Isaiah, something that he shared 700 years before Jesus was born about Jesus. At the time, I'm not sure that Isaiah or the people he was giving this sign to understood it was Jesus. We do now, looking back, but I want to look at some things he said and then take away from that things that we can still apply today from what he spoke many, many years ago, what he said then and how it affects us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a timeless source of truth, that what you spoke 2,700 years ago is still applicable and truthful for us today and will be into eternity. And so I pray that you would help us open up our ears to hear and our hearts to receive and to apply what we hear you speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 7. That's in the Old Testament, probably somewhere around the middle of your Bible, Isaiah. And then also Matthew chapter 1. On your sermon notes, the scriptures are listed at the top, and I believe the sermon notes reference Matthew 1:22, and that was my mistake. It was 1:22-23. It's actually two verses there, so you might want to correct that because 22 by itself doesn't make a lot of sense. Isaiah 7, Matthew chapter 1. We'll start with Isaiah. There are many prophets in the Bible. Some we refer to as major prophets, some minor prophets. The word major and minor has nothing to do with their importance or relevance. It has a lot to do with the length of their messages. So the longer messages were more major, the smaller messages were more minor, but they're all important. And we see a lot of these prophetic messages, both concerning Jesus' birth, but also his death and resurrection. And today we're going to focus in on the prophet Isaiah, one of the greatest Hebrew prophets. He was born in Jerusalem. And at the time that he was born and at the time that he spoke these messages, the nation of Israel was divided. There was the northern kingdom called Israel, the southern kingdom called Judah. And it was in that environment that God gave Isaiah a message to speak to the king of Judah, who was not living a godly life. In a sense, he had sold out to the enemies. And you know how God can do when we turn our focus off of him and onto other people for our guidance, for our advice, for our counsel. You know, sometimes he has a way of getting our attention to get it refocused back on him. And that's what was happening with this king. His name was Ahaz. King Ahaz. And so Isaiah is coming to him with this message. Judah was being threatened. And I think I have a map up there. Yeah, a map. So you see the southern kingdom of Judah. That's where King Ahaz was ruling in Jerusalem. And Judah was being threatened by Israel and Syria. And so you could say King Ahaz was living in fear of being conquered and defeated and, of course, losing his kingship, maybe even his life. What's not on that map to the east is a region called Assyria, and then below that, Babylonia. And I'm not going to get into that. I might touch on that next week. But just for today, what you need to know is Israel and Syria were talking about invading Judah and conquering it so they would have more land and more people to go against any enemies in the future. And King Ahaz was threatened by that, did not like that. And so Isaiah gives this message to King Ahaz. And I want to pick up Isaiah chapter 7, verse 3. It says, "Then the Lord said to Isaiah, 'Go out, you and your son, to meet Ahaz.'" And in verse 4, "Say to him, 'Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood,'" referring to Syria and Israel. Verse 6, "They have said, 'Let us invade Judah.'" Notice God reminds us of what they say. And normally he reminds us of what they say when what they say does not agree with what he says. He says, "They have said, 'Let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it.' Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says." Who in here knows the difference between what they say about you or your situation and what God says about you? You need to know the difference. And when they, and what they say, is louder than what God says, you're going to have problems. And when you start worrying about what they say, it's time to get on your knees and find out what God says. Amen. The sovereign Lord says it will not take place, Ahaz. It's not going to happen the way they say it is. So quit listening to them. It's not going to happen that way. But in verse 9, watch this, verse 9. If you have your Bibles or something to write this down with, this is, if you were to leave service right now, you would have enough for a life changer in this next verse, verse 9. He says, "But if you do not stand in your faith, Ahaz, you will not stand at all." Now, that may be a word for somebody this morning. You don't even need to know how this story ends to have that change your life. Some of you are not standing for God. Some of you are not standing firm in your faith. Maybe one day you had, but now you're not. Something's happened, and you're not as close to God as you used to be. You're not spending time in His Word like you used to. And it's real easy for what they say to take prominence over what God says. And God wants you to know, "I'm going to take care of you, but, you need to stand firm, because if you don't, you won't stand at all." Maybe somebody watching online, you needed to hear that today. Today would be your turnaround day. You've walked away from the Lord. You've walked away from church. You've walked away from fellowship. Today might be the day you consider and take God at His word before it's too late to turn back to Him and put your faith in Him. He will take care of your situation. So let me sum up what I've just read. God said, "Listen, they've said things that'll make you fearful, but I'm telling you, don't listen to them because I've got this. I'm going to take care of you. But you better stand firm in your faith. You better take me at my word, or you won't stand a chance." So who's ever felt that way before? Something's happened in your life. It's opened up a door for fear. You know, fear can wreck us, can't it? Fear can really get us our mind off track, get it off the Lord, the fear of losing something or someone, the fear of being defeated, or the fear of being found out, right? You've got these secrets that you're living with, and your thought every day is, I hope I don't get caught, I hope I don't get found out. That's a heavy weight you got to carry with you. The fear of dying, the fear of failure. Maybe it's fear based in a relationship or in your finances or your job, your health, and now here in America, our freedom. Huh? Is this the right crowd? Some of you fear of losing your freedom? Listen to me. God says, I've got this. I know what they say. But if you'll stand firm in your faith, I've got this, I'm going to do what I plan to do, but you stay with me. Now is not a good time to get out of fellowship and relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to need each other now more than ever here in America if we're going to stand firm in the circumstances that we're living in. And so it's a message of encouragement. Who could use a message of encouragement at this time in your life, at this season in your life? It really is a message of encouragement. Listen, God's saying, I know things look bad from your vantage point, but trust me, it's going to be okay. But you're going to have to trust me and stand firm in your faith. So we have a responsibility, church, to stand firm in our faith. Amen. And if you don't, then all bets are off. Now, I don't know. King Ahaz came into kingship at the age of 20. He was a little bit young and dumb. He made a lot of stupid choices. He led an ungodly life. He was influenced by the culture more than his heritage. And he died at 36. Now, no one really knows how he died. It could have been that he resisted God and was no longer protected by God, and maybe he died in battle, or maybe he died of something. But I just say this, stand firm, stay connected to God daily, and trust that everything's going to work out no matter how it looks today. And then Isaiah told King Ahaz to ask for a sign. Because maybe Isaiah sensed that Ahaz was having a hard time believing that God had this situation based on what he'd already heard. And so he says, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Again, we don't know if his motive was sincere and pure or if it was an excuse because he didn't really believe in God. And so Isaiah says, okay, then the Lord's going to give you one. And here it is. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, I'm going to stop right there because there's more to the sign. But I don't want to hand feed you today. I'm going to give you the assignment to go home and read the rest of the word, the sign that he gave Ahaz, because there was a warning in there. There's a warning in there that's the same warning for us today. I think it's important that we understand that God loves us, God's protect us, but he's given us responsibility. I want you to go and read the rest of the sign that he gave Ahaz to prove that he would do what Isaiah was telling Ahaz God would do. But because of time, I want you to now fast forward 700 years to Matthew chapter 1. Now remember, 400 years prior to Matthew writing this, God was not with them. He was with them in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Sin came on the scene. Things changed. Sin separated God and man. And God throughout history is always trying to find a way to connect with his people. But like people are with a sinful nature, we always turn our backs on God. And so for 400 years, God was silent. I think it'd be fair to say that if you were a person living during that time, God is no longer with us. And then in Matthew chapter 1, talking about the birth of Christ, if you remember, Joseph found out that Mary was expecting a child during their engagement, which he knew, that baby is not mine. An angel appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, don't fear. God's got this. You need to take your wife with this baby and do what God's going to tell you to do. But this baby's a really important baby, Joseph. So just follow God no matter what it looks like. And you will name this baby Jesus because this baby is going to save his people from their sinfulness. And here's what Matthew writes about that event in verse 22 and 23. He writes, all this took place, what I just talked about, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. Remember, 700 years prior. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I think it's kind of cool that God connected these two big dots, separated by a 700-year span, to remind God's people that God is with us again. And his name is Jesus. Now, I'm going to talk more about God with us next week and in the following weeks. But for today, I want to share with you three thoughts or ideas. What can we see through this prophecy that will teach us about the Christ of Christmas for our lives today, 2,000 years later? Three thoughts. Number one, that faith in God's promises is the only way to find true peace in times of trouble. Now, think about King Ahaz. And then think about Joseph 700 years later, and then think about us today, 2,000 years later. There's a common thread that we see, starting with King Ahaz. And I think it's important to note that he was not a righteous king. And his life and leadership did not honor or please God. He worshiped pagan idols. He even had his own son sacrificed to the god Molech. I had a thought that I will not share. But it's the epitome of ungodly leadership. And then to add fuel to the fire, he strikes a deal with Assyria. Remember, I mentioned it earlier, it's not on the map, but it was... He struck a deal with Assyria just in case Israel and Syria came after him. He now goes to a pagan king and strikes a deal because he didn't trust in God. He strikes a deal with a pagan king that says, hey, if I send you monthly payments, right, it's kind of like the mafia. If I send you monthly payments, will you protect us from these two countries, these two kings that have threatened to come after me? Instead of trusting God by faith, he forged an alliance with a wicked king out of fear. If you keep reading, remember I said go home and read the rest. If you keep reading the rest of this, God does warn him that you're wasting your money because I will see to it that Assyria kicks your booty. Go back and read it. It's a good read. It's a good read. Now, fast forward 700 years, Joseph is in a similar situation. Remember, we're talking about trusting God in troubled times. And that was a troubling situation for that young guy. It was scandalous. And people were pointing the finger at him. What do I do? And he had the same choice. Do I trust God by faith, or do I run away in fear. Then you fast forward to us today, 2,000 years later. We know what that's like. Something happens, we're in a situation, what we would call troubled times, difficult situations, circumstances, in which we have to make some tough decisions. And again, it boils down to, do I act by faith or do I act out of fear? Yesterday, Tammy and I were having a conversation about that. And she made the comment, but you can't let fear dictate your decision. I said, well, let me just suppose that somebody threatens you for your faith, but they're not going to threaten you. They're going to take it out on your grandchildren. You know, she whoa, yeah. It's easy to say that about us, but then when somebody else might be at stake, if the consequences for our, we love our four kids, but we really love our nine grandchildren. And to think that something bad could happen to them, because, and I told her, I said, it's not hard for fear to come in and to start dictating our decisions. Again, do we trust in God or do we trust in man or this world for the answers and solutions? And so with this first point that I wanted to share with you about our life today, if we see what Isaiah did, I hope we'll see that we can trust God no matter what our circumstances are. That was the message to Ahaz. I know it looks bad, Ahaz, but trust me, I've got this. And he didn't see it, but God did, and he sent his messenger to let him know. We don't see how things are going to work out, but God does, and he's telling us today, listen, Emmanuel, I am with you. Look at your neighbor and say, God is with you. Look at your other neighbor and say, God is with me. Right? And the fact that here we are at Christmas and we're celebrating the birth of Christ, Jesus Christ, is a reminder, not just at Christmas, but especially at Christmas, that God is with us. That God is greater than what others say. God is greater than what this world says. God already has a solution. And we can walk in peace and hope and trust in that. If we what? Stand firm in our faith. Think about a time when you're facing trouble. The emotion that I feel most of the time is not peace, it's fear. What's going to happen? What's going to happen if I do this? What's going to happen if I do that? What's going to happen if I don't do this? Fear. Fear. And I believe that's the result because I forgot what I just shared a while ago, and that is, listen, I don't have to walk in fear. I have to remember God is with me in this. He's with me in this. Usually fear comes on the scene when we forget that God is with us. And so no matter how big the problem was or is or will be, God's always ready to help you get through it and to give you peace. But your part is to what? Is to stand firm in your faith. You getting this? All right, here's another thought about something Isaiah said that applies to us today. Believing in God's promises or standing firm in your faith is the only way to stand up against the enemy. Not only is it the only way to have peace in troubled times, but it's the only way to fight the good fight of faith and be victorious. Now, remember Isaiah's warning to King Ahaz, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Listen, when we choose sides against God, all bets are off. Ahaz chose Assyria to be his backup, not God. And that's why God had to give him that warning. So when we when we go to someone else or something else for our hope, that's not drawing near to God. Usually bad things happen. But God shows us time and time again, if we'll draw near to Him, He'll take care of us. He'll protect us, right? In the New Testament, the brother of Jesus, James, talks about this. First in James 1:8, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded man or woman would be someone who is not standing firm in their faith. They're double-minded. They're confused. They're split. You know, God's word says this, but everybody at work tells me this. The news is saying one thing, God's word. I'm double-minded. Which one am I going to hang my hat on? Which one's going to give me peace or joy today? Which one should I listen to more? Double-minded. You got it? But in James 4:8, he says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you who are double-minded. Listen, if you're double-minded, and I've been double-minded before. That's one reason I got off Facebook. It was called me to be triple-minded. Messed me up. My flesh came out on Facebook. If you find yourself being double-minded, the best place to go immediately is to God's Word. Well, where do I start? I don't know. Ask somebody that you know or call me and we'll figure it out, but go to God's Word. Go to God's Word. You might start with the scriptures in today's passage. I wrote them on your sermon notes. You've got them. Go to God's Word for hope and encouragement. When we come near to God, then we place ourselves under God's protection. But when we don't, He said earlier to Ahaz and to us, you don't stand a chance. It's only a matter of time before we fall prey to the enemy, just like King Ahaz and Judah did. And so what did Isaiah see that we need to see? That God is with us. God's with us when we're facing troubled times and have fear, or when we're facing an enemy, we don't know how to respond or deal with it. That He's with me. He's with you. He's with us. Right? He's with us when we're facing trouble. He's with us, He's with you, He's with me when we're lonely. When we have doubts, we have fears, when we're down and out, when we feel like a failure, when we feel like calling it quits, listen, He is with us. You know, back in Isaiah's day, the fact that it was a split nation just opened up the door for everybody that lived during that time to be full of fear. And that message that God gave through Isaiah was a way to bring that king, but also the king's people, hope that things were going to be okay. How much more today do we still need that same thing to bring us hope when we're living in some very ungodly times right now? And our enemies are not political parties. Our enemies are not really human. Now, they'll operate through humans, but our real enemy is a spiritual enemy. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, he reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. No, he reminds us that it's spiritual. They work through humans, but it's really spiritual. And then he reminds us how to deal with it. In verse 13, he tells us to put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, who would agree it's here, that you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, run and hide. Is that what some of us are doing? Huh? It doesn't say that. It says, after you've done everything, stand. And that word, in the context in which it was originally written, means to keep standing. It's not a one-time stand. Well, I stood and nothing happened. Keep standing. Keep standing. Now, here's a formula that I look at when things aren't going well in my life. My first thought is, am I properly aligned with God? Is there something going on in my life that does not align with His righteousness for my life? Is there any sin? Is there any habits or whatever? In me, on me, around me, is there anything that I need to deal with and get right? I need to, you know, if your car's wobbling, you take it in for what? An alignment. You may not need two tires. You may just need to get it aligned and balanced right. That's the first one. Am I, like, some of you, things aren't going well, and you have reason to fear because you're not right with God. You're saved, but there's things in your life that are not right. They're not in balance. They're not in harmony with God's will for your life. You're saved. Praise God we're saved. But we're not always aligned. We're not always right with God. That's the first place. Let's get right with God. Then if we're right, and you ask 10 people in your life, is there anything, do you see or hear or know anything about me that's not right? No, you're just close to holiness. If you're there, then the next thing is, then keep standing. If there's something broke, fix it. But once everything is fixed, guess what? Keep standing. Amen. Keep praying. Keep reading God's word. Keep trusting God no matter what things look like. Keep trusting God no matter what they say. Keep standing. Keep in fellowship. Now here's the plan. Here's the spiritual plan. It's always been God's plan. If the devil can get into the sheepfold and separate a sheep, he doesn't care about the flock. He's just looking for that one sheep that he can pick off and devour. I was listening to a message of Robert Morris one time. He gave an illustration. He said, we're all sheep in the flock, but you don't want to be the one on the outside out here. Oh, did I walk off camera? You technology limits my freedom. But I came back into the light for you that are watching online. This is for you. Robert said, don't be the one on the outside. He said, do whatever you can to move into the middle of the flock. It'll be somebody else the enemy picks up, but it's not going to be me. Amen. Listen, you can't worry about everybody else. You better take care of you, yourself, and your family. You better make sure you're in the core of Christian community and spiritual community in the days that we're headed into. That's right. Stand firm in your faith, or you won't stand at all. That was God's word to King Ahaz. And that, I believe, is God's word for us today. Stand firm in your faith, or you may not have a chance. So, if you know people, now listen, that doesn't mean that you've left Generations Church and gone to another church. That's fine. Just don't leave a church and stay unconnected from the fellowship. And reading your word by itself, all by yourself, is good. I don't think it's going to be enough. I don't think you can be a Lone Ranger Christian and survive long term. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's really hard. I wouldn't put money on it. I would say keep surrounded with like-minded people that are we're going to encourage each other. We're going to pray for one another. You can't do that when you're a Lone Ranger. You can't do that when you check out and trying to live life all by yourself. The enemy will get you. And I've seen people leave our church. I've seen people leave other churches, they don't get reconnected, and within a short period of time, you hear something bad's happening. Nothing I can do about that other than try to remind you in a message, prevention, right? Make sure you're doing things where that doesn't happen. Amen? God is with us. God is with us. And then here's point number three. Christ is our source for courage. King Ahaz needed courage to face what he was dealing with. But courage is not just for kings. Courage is for everybody. Amen. Hardly a week or a month goes by where we get prayer requests. And what they're really asking for is, I need courage to get through what I'm going through. And so we pray. Tammy and I will pray for people, our prayer team, pray for people. And what we have to remind them is, listen, God is with you. You're not in this by yourself. Yeah, we need to pray. But you, don't forget, God is with you. And so we normally encourage them, you need to press back into God. And one of my questions is, have you gotten away from God? Now, here's I'm just letting you in on my little secret. You ready for this? Here's what I usually ask them. What did God tell you? And when you spent time with him this morning, what did God tell you? And they go, well, I didn't. Well, what are you coming to me for? Listen. Listen. Spend time in God's word and hear what he says to do and obey what he tells you to do. If you're not spending time in God's word, you're not going to stand firm in your faith. And it's just a matter of time before the enemy's going to beat you up and have fun doing it. Amen? Is this good for anybody? Is this helping anybody? Single parents, you need courage to raise children today. I mean, let's say double parent families need courage. What am I saying here? But even single parents, even more so. We need courage to make the right decisions in the midst of the world our kids are growing up in that's going the opposite direction of God. And then for those that are facing the things I've already talked about, financial setback, job change, job loss, relationships. Listen, God is with you. God is with me. He's with you. He's with us. And so we need to see what Isaiah saw when he gave that message to Ahaz. It's the same message for us today. God is with you. Stand firm in your faith if you want to stand at all. Amen. Let me ask you, what do you hear God saying to you in this message today? You know, as a children's pastor, the key to teaching was repetition, repetition, repetition. And I would guess to say that what you heard today probably wasn't the first time you've heard it. You just needed to be reminded of it. Sometimes we forget what we need to remember. I'm hoping you heard what King Ahaz and Joseph heard. I hope you heard God tell you today, listen, I know what you're going through, but I want you to trust me. I want you to stay calm and not be afraid. Don't lose heart because of what it looks like. Don't lose heart because of what they have said, but trust in me and know that I am with you. And I will get you through this. I'm also hoping that you heard what Isaiah told King Ahaz. For that to be true, you need to stand firm in your faith if you're going to stand at all. I'm going to talk more about the warning that he gave King Ahaz next week and how that applies to us today. But until then, why don't we just remember this at the beginning of our Christmas series as we're preparing our hearts for Christmas, that let's see Christ the way Isaiah saw him and worship him as Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen? Bow your heads, please. Father, thank you for this message. Thank you, God, that you sent your Son to this earth 2,000 years ago to be with us, for you to be with us to restore our hope and our eternal life and our thinking. For those that have received Christ, you know that God is with you, but maybe some watching online or here in the sanctuary, maybe you've never received Christ. And so, yeah, I can imagine that it doesn't feel like God is with you. He wants to be. He wants to be with you this Christmas, but he's waiting for you to invite him into your life to be with you. And so for those who haven't done that, or maybe you did it a long time ago and you just want to do it again, just to renew your heart commitment to a God that loves you, to a God that died and made a way for you to have eternal life in spite of your sin, he's waiting for you to invite him in. Maybe he's on the front porch of your life and he's sitting in that rocking chair, sitting on that bench, waiting for you to open the door and say, "Hey, Christ, come into my life." In fact, if that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I've got a prayer. I'm going to teach you this prayer. You can pray to make it happen. It's a prayer of faith. It's a way for you to invite God into your life so that from this day forward, you never have to worry about is he there or not. Is that anybody here? Raise your hand. Wave it where I can see it, huh? Anybody? Or maybe you're watching online. I just want to pray it anyway. Somebody might be saying, "Yes, Pastor." Just say this: "Dear Jesus, thank you for coming into this world that very first Christmas to make it possible for God to be with us, or to be specifically with me. And thank you for living a life, a perfect sinless life, and then dying on a cross to be the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice that God demanded for sins and the removal of sins. Today, Jesus, I'm inviting you into my life. I'm putting my faith, my trust, my loyalty in you and who you say you are and what you did for me. It's by faith. It's a decision by faith that I make. But today I'm asking you to save me from my sins. Forgive me of all my sins. Change my heart. Give me a heart that loves you and loves people the way you do. Renew my mind. Let me begin to think differently. Let me not be self-centered or selfish. But may my priorities in life be God first. May I find ways to worship you and to serve you and your people, your church, other believers, the way you want me to. Because you died for me, today I'm receiving you into my life, and I promise to live for you from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, maybe online, let us know. We want to celebrate that. We're always here to help you grow forward in your faith. Christmas should be a reminder that God is with us. He's with us right now. The Prince of Peace is here with us right now. Who needs peace? Who needs peace? Let's all stand and sing this last song together, and let's sing it to the Prince of Peace and ask him to fill you with peace today, and I'll see you next Sunday. Love you.